Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, so what we're going to do is called welcome stretches. We're going to do welcome stretches. All right, so everybody just stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Everybody stand up on your feet. Now take your right arm and extend it to the closest person next to you and shake a hand. Come on. Come on. Come on. We're going to take our left hands. Here we go. Take our left hands. Do the exact same movement. Extend it and say, welcome. Say, good morning. All right. So everybody doing good? We're doing great. We're doing great. Everybody, we got 4 or 5 people that say they're doing great. If you're doing amazing, come on and give God praise. If you're ready to worship, come on and give God praise. All right, cool.
If you're in this place today and you want to say, I'm going to raise a hallelujah to my God, give him a shout right now. This is your hallelujah right there. That noise is so powerful to the kingdom in heaven today.
Hallelujah. In the man cave praying about today's service, I was hearing the rain just rattle the house, and I said, God, today's a good day not to go outside. And he said, I want you out at the driveway because I want my children to know that no matter what the weather, no matter what the problems, no matter what the storms, I'm still standing right there. Now, hear me now. I tried to talk him out of it. You just got to know. In fact, I wore gaiters this morning because I know I was going to be out there. And I want you to know that alligators still get wet because my feet are wet right now. But our God is faithful. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I don't know what trouble you're going through. How many of you have had some trouble this year? All had trouble, man. Trouble, Bible says that rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Hell starts licking our toes. The one thing that we have in security is knowing he's always there. No matter what your trial, no matter what your trouble, no matter how hard it gets, don't you dare give up, because your Father is standing right there. And he doesn't have to wear gaiters. Jesus, he's faithful. Amen. You don't mind we just sing another worship song? Yes. But I just needed to share that because I just feel that some of you are in that position. And I believe that's a prophetic word this morning. I don't think it's just a word, or he wouldn't have made me go out to the driveway. This is where he wants you to know. He knows you. There's the anointing right there. He knows you. He knows your trial. He knows your thoughts. He knows your discouragement. If you call on him this morning, right where you are, you're going to feel that anointing come on you like a coat. It's just going to be that assurance, reassurance. I'm not gone anywhere. I'm right here. Jesus is right here.
I'll bless you at all times.
Come on, cause I
bow to
praise. Yeah, come on. It's exactly what I do. It's what I was built to do. It's why I woke up this morning. It's why I'm walking. It's why he started me on my way. It's why, Lord God, it's why I got breath in my lungs. Because praise is what I do. Come on, come on. Make praise what you do this morning. Come on and give God a shout of praise. If you want this, say it's what I do. Hey, it's what I do. Come on, hallelujah. Say praise is what I do. Say just the voices, whether happy or sad.
Whether happy or sad.
Say, I'll praise you.
I'll praise you. In all that I go through.
Because praise is what I do.
Because praise is what.
Come on. Lord, I owe it all.
Cause I owe it all to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just sense in my spirit there are folks here, you're trying to figure things out. And what's happening when you keep trying to figure things out? You're getting yourself confused and you're actually building on your doubt instead of your faith. You need to know there are times when we're going through, my wife and I were talking about this week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three young men who served God, unwilling to compromise, unwilling to bow to the idol. And you know, you would expect God to show up like right then and there, and he didn't. In fact, because they wouldn't bow, they were sent to the fiery furnace that was stoked up seven times hotter than it normally was. What was amazing is that even the men that went to throw them in under the command of Nebuchadnezzar, they were burned up just throwing them in. But man, I don't know about you, I want God to show up before the furnace. But he didn't. But I want you to know this. You're trying to figure it out. God, where are you? Listen now, you don't have the luxury of canceling your faith before you enter the fire. Yeah, that one right there, you better log. It wasn't until they were in the furnace, where they should have been destroyed, that all of a sudden the fourth man showed up. I want you to know that Jesus will be right there with you in the depths of the fire, in the furnace that doesn't make sense. When you're trying to figure things out, you need to cancel that and trust him. Man, I tell you, that's hard. It's been a challenging year for me. When I wanted God to show up a long time ago, he did not. But I want you to know this, I'm still standing. After you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. Come on now. Jesus will not abandon you. He will be with you, and you're going to come out. You won't even smell like smoke. Some of you trying to figure this thing out now, and you're actually, what you're doing now is you're starting to question God. God, where are you? God, God, God. Well, maybe you're not real. Well, maybe this isn't what it was. I thought I served you. Lord, I know I met you, but I don't know where you are. Listen, stop it. Bring into captivity every thought and imagination that will bring itself up against God. And you need to rest in the everlasting arms of God. Sometimes you need to climb into the cleft of the rock. You know what the cleft is? That is on the backside of the storm. You climb into a little cubby, and you just kind of scoot down in, and all the storm is raging around you, but you're dry. That didn't happen this morning. My gaiters are wet, but I'm still standing. Can I hear an amen? And the more you're in the presence of God, the hotter you get. Wow, my Jesus. So I just want you to encourage some folks. Can you do me a favor this morning? Can you not look for someone to encourage you this morning? But can you do ministry and encourage somebody else? Can you go find five people you do not know and say, he'll never leave you. He'll always be there. Can you go find five people to encourage, five people you don't know this morning? Tell them you're going to be all right. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Jesus is always there. Go, come on now. Go find five people you don't know. Be an encourager today. Don't be a taker. Be a giver.
Tabernacle Family Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome, awesome. Can y'all just look around? We are such a friendly church. Everybody's up and about, saying hello to people, encouraging each other. It is so amazing to see. So if we could just, you know, take our time to return back to our seats, that would be greatly appreciated. I hope you were able to meet somebody new, somebody that you've not met before. I hope you were able to encourage them and for them to encourage you as well. The Bible declares, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And part of the reason why we're glad is because we get to fellowship with one another. We're here to live life with each other. So again, I was able to meet a few people, and I was happy to meet them as well. I hope that you met some people, and that even after our church service, you can just continue to get to know them a little bit more. So who has had a great week so far? Who's had a great weekend so far? You all have braved the rain because y'all love Jesus. Amen. Y'all love the word. Y'all love worship. And we are just excited for you to come and worship with us. If this is your first time here, you've never been here to worship with us, can you guys see, just lift up your hand like this if you've never been here? Awesome. Awesome. Can you guys put your hands together for our first time guests? Awesome. We are so excited you are here to worship with us. If you have not received a guest packet, can you please just lift your hands back up in the air? We have a gift for you. We have a mug, some information about our church, and I want to personally invite you to our guest reception after church service. It'll be on your right, my left, down this hallway. You will see the signs for it right there. We want to give you some free coffee, just meet some of the people on staff, and just tell you thank you so much for coming to worship with us. So can you guys just one more time please help me put your hands together for our first time guests? Amazing, amazing, amazing. We have a few announcements for you. Number one, next Sunday, we have a guest speaker that's coming in, Pastor Chris Estrada. Who remembers him from the Uproar Conference? He was amazing, and we are excited that we get to have him here coming up next week. Also, this week, we have Harvest Fest. Who's excited for Harvest Fest? We are still collecting donations for our candy drive. So if you could, just sometime this week at Walmart, Wegmans, wherever you may shop, just grab a bag of candy, pray over it, bring it here, and drop it off for the candy drive. It is such a privilege that we get to minister to our community. We're going to have hundreds of children here. We're going to have every chair cleared out of this sanctuary. Blow-ups. It's going to be wild. Why? Because we want to let our community know that they can still have fun here within the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I'm going to have a few more announcements. Give me a second. Let me find them. We also have Freedom Weekend coming up. So who had attended our last one? So this is, last time we actually called it that it was going to be an encounter, but we've renamed it to Freedom Weekend. If you really just need to be free, amen? If you want to encounter Jesus on a whole new level, perhaps you have been attending church here, but you've just not really felt plugged in, or maybe there's a wall that you keep on hitting, this is a two-day encounter, a Freedom Weekend that you do not want to miss. This is not going to be blocked off just to one person. This could be open to every single person within the church. There's a cost of $10. You can sign up right outside. It's going to be this next Friday night and also Saturday morning, November 1st and November 2nd. And lastly, we have our Grow books that are in for our new series. Who's been enjoying the new series so far? Okay, all three of y'all. That's awesome. Perfectly, Pastor. You can preach it up even more dynamically today for us. Who's been enjoying the series so far? Thank you. It is very important for you guys to have your Grow books in hand. Not only will you be able to follow along with what he will be preaching, but there are some practical tools for this series that is here. We want everybody to be debt-free and to be supernaturally, financially blessed according to the Word of God. And there are some practical tools that will be in your hands in those Grow books. So please go ahead into the foyer and purchase them as well. Amen. If you could please turn your attention to the screen, we have some video announcements for you.
No More Hurt Seminar, November 8th and 9th in Mansfield, PA. Featuring Pastor Rhonda Spencer, a gifted speaker, minister, and author. No More Hurt, free and open to everyone.
Hey family, we know you're so excited about what Jesus is doing in your life, and we want to give you an opportunity to continue to grow. That's why we have available Next Steps classes 1, 2, and 3. We would love to see you at any of the campuses, and you can find this information at histabernacle.com or right at your campus's info center. But this is important because what we know in Jesus is what we can do in Jesus. We want to see you go to that next level this year. Go ahead and join today so you can start on your next level.
Hey, HT family, we want to see you at a group, and y'all got to get as psyched as she is because there's food, there's family, and there's fellowship. Isn't that right, Abby?
That's right. Oh. We want to see you at your local campus's information center. We'll see you there.
Amen. Make sure you get involved. There's so much going on. There's no reason to be disconnected in this house. And seriously, this week, Harvest Fest, please see Pastor Aaron. Get involved with your family at this great time for our community. Well, we just came off of Women's Encounter Weekend. And let me tell you, we are forever changed. So I've asked the ladies to just share in two words what God has done for them this weekend.
I'm loved and restored.
Breakthrough.
These Egyptians I will not see again. Almost done.
Be still and victory.
Transformation and restoration.
Freedom and activate.
I am a new creation and a bolder creation.
I am chosen.
I am confidently moving forward in Him as I allow Him to carry my bags, and as I praise Him, I will bring confusion to the enemy.
I am free and restored.
Amen. Renewed, restored, and transformed.
Yes, amen.
He has a place for me, and He is launching me out.
Amen.
Next level ministry.
God has done amazing things. If you've been on a women's encounter, can you stand to your feet? Wow, this is awesome. We've had over 100 women come out to encounter. So make sure you get signed up for the next one. There's already a waiting list, so get on board, and it will transform and change your life. Thank you so much, ladies. And as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings this morning, we've been on a series of just testimonies. Don't you love hearing about the testimonies of what God is doing in our lives, in the family? We get to hear them all the time, so we just love sharing them with all of you. So this is Kayla and Terry trying to get past the crowd of women, one-way traffic flow. And they have a powerful, powerful testimony of financial freedom.
So we shared a little bit of this Friday evening for the pastor's appreciation banquet. My wife and I got married very young. When you see the one for you, you just have to do everything you can do to go after it.
Don't waste any time.
Anyway, so I had a good job. She was working. Everything was going good. We bought our first home. Hallelujah. And then she got pregnant for our first child, of five, right? This is number five here. So she took time off of work, obviously, and the baby came. And then, perfect timing, I got laid off. I was in the carpenters union. And then that just kind of snowball effect, things that we had, you know, we had loans for our vehicles, we had our mortgage, we had other bills, we had credit cards. And this started a nasty, nasty transition and effect in our lives. And we got buried in debt and in just, there was no money coming in. And of course, every month the debt collectors wanted it. There was no money coming in, but the money kept going out somehow. So long story short, we were broke. We were busted. It was awful. I mean, cupboards were bare. Creditors were calling, wanting, like I told him, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't have it. So any money that we did get to come in, tithe was always first off the top. That was never an issue. We always tithed. But we came down to a point where we had just enough money to either pay our tithes or pay that one extra bill that was due. Our groceries. Okay.
So so he did smaller jobs. We started our business, a small business, and he was doing smaller jobs, and I worked at night. And we had a certain amount of money left over after we paid a payment on our house so they wouldn't take it. And that was either tithe or groceries. And at that point, I had the two little boys. And in your head, you're thinking, well, God wouldn't want me to starve my boys. That's wrong. But then you think, but that the word doesn't really talk about that. He talks about trusting him. And we stood in our kitchen, and I'll always remember this. We tell this story in Growth Track, that we looked at each other and we went, do we really believe this? We either do or we don't. That's just where we're at right now. And I'm going to cry because I always cry when I tell this story. But we decided in that moment to give the tithe because it's holy. I literally didn't have beans in my cupboard. We didn't post on Facebook. Nobody knew. My parents didn't even know. His parents, nobody knew. And we said, we're going to trust God. I kid you not, an hour later, someone showed up at our door with $100. And I had written out a list of groceries that I needed. And I was like, you know what? This is so awesome. We can get almost everything. I can totally make this work. And so I went to the store, and I was shopping. This is where I cry. Someone came up to me, and they're here today. They didn't know. They came up to me in the store, and they said, God told me to give you everything in my wallet today. So not only was I able to get all the groceries I needed, I had money left over. So he, not only did we tithe, he gave like crazy, and it irritated me. And as a wife, I was very annoyed, and I argued with him a lot. But I'm very happy that he sowed us out of poverty. And I just want to just finish up with where God's brought us because of your sowing, like that I didn't want to do.
She was grumpy, but she did it anyway because I'm the head of the house and she's going to do what I say. Fast forward, this has been testimony after testimony over a 10-year period, 11 years, into where we're at today because we gave our way out of poverty and we truly believe, you couldn't talk us out of God's word and when it says that he's going to take care of us, and he has done it so many times. So starting our business and failing, I think, twice or two or three times of starting a business, and my entrepreneur spirit wouldn't give up. I just kept going after it, and now we're running. It's a six-figure business and soon to be a seven-figure business. We started another business, and with this franchise, it had startup costs to it. So it was about $20,000 that we needed, and I needed to raise it fast because territories were selling, and I didn't want to lose my spot because I felt that this was something that God was bringing to us. So I asked God what I should do and what I should sow, because this is just how we work. If there's something that I want, I don't usually go to somebody that I could loan it from or go to a bank to borrow money. I listen to what God tells me to sow, and then I just believe for it from there on. So I said, I need this much, Lord, and I need it quick. So he told me what to give, and it was a small amount that I had set aside in my John Wayne collection that was holy and set apart. It was like the ark. My wife couldn't touch it. It was a secret stash that she knew about. I said, God, I'm not even going to give this to you. But then when it came down to what I needed to sow, I said, what do you want me to give? And he said, of course, I want you to give what you said I can't have. So listen, it was, I think I had saved, you know, a couple dollars here and there, and I save $5 bills if they come in. It's just a fun way to save. So I had acquired like $200, I think it was $204, wasn't a lot for what I needed, but God told me to give that. So I sowed it. And long story short, we were believing, and I needed it to come in fast. And we didn't get $20,000 because God isn't a small God. We got $30,000 cash as a gift to us, okay? Coming from a source that we would have never known where it came from. And that's just how He works. And He does it again and again and again. And I will always, if there's something that I want, I sow a seed for it. And it's just that simple. I get what I want because He's proven it. And when it's been tough, he just does it. It is what it is. I highly encourage every one of you, if you're in a tight spot, sow a seed to get out of it and believe for it and put a name on that harvest that you're believing and expecting, okay? Because it will come to pass. We can't go down broke because we've sown so much. We can only increase from here forward. And that's that simple. God's word works. We put it to the test, and I could go on and on with stories about how He has blessed us over and above, and it just keeps coming. And it really comes from the teaching of this house. So when anybody stands up here behind this pulpit talking about giving or sowing or tithing, you need to listen because it works. And if you're broke afterwards because you're not doing anything, that's your fault. I'm sorry. It works. All right? We love you.
That was awesome. I can't say that. He can. So if you're ready to participate with giving in the house of God, stand to your feet. We're going to make a supernatural declaration. This is simply the word of God from Deuteronomy 28. It explains the blessings that come when we obey. So as we're saying this, we are prophesying. We are speaking over our finances. So let's say this like we believe it and we mean it. It says in Deuteronomy 28, if you'll repeat after me, if I obey, I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithe.
the worship team a hand clap this morning. Tremendous gift. Thank you for leading us into the presence of Jesus. I think that's one of the great privileges of doing what they do, is the ability to lead us into worship. I love the fact that we can come into the presence of God. He's real, amen? Come into the presence of the Lord and spend time with Him as a corporate body. You know, I've heard over this year, actually, we've seen an old bad doctrine rise up within the church world in our arena in this region. And I don't usually speak against things, but this is one of them that I do strongly. There's an actual group of people out there now that are trying to teach that you don't need to go to church, that it's not important to go to church. You all just have church at home. And I want you to realize that that is not what the head of the church declared. Amen. That we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. So I want to encourage you to be a churchgoer. Make it a part of your family tradition. And not being traditional, but being somebody who comes to the house of the Lord ready to worship Him in corporate truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. We are in a series, and I do want to give a shout out. I have a very, very close friend here today, Pastor Ben Thompson. If I could have you stand and wave at everybody, Pastor Ben. I love Pastor Ben. He went to Bible college with me. Tremendous man of God with his beautiful bride, and we're just so blessed to have him in the house from Maryland. Are you still from Maryland, or are you from Pennsylvania? From Pennsylvania, IA, amen. And we're just blessed to have them here in the house. And thank you for being here, Pastor Ben. I love you very much. This morning, we're going to continue with the series on next level finances, amen. Turn to someone and say, spent. Tell somebody, spent. How many of you know you spent money this week? How many spent a lot of money this week? How many spent more money than you usually spend this week? Money. You know, money goes just as fast as money comes. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Money cometh is another principle. Because God is the God of access, we know that God, there is nothing that He doesn't own and nothing that He doesn't have. God can take care of you. This week, I want to talk to you about the breaking point and the breaking the power of debt in your life. How many of you know that debt is not your friend? Turn to someone and say, God wants you out of debt. Amen. We went over it last week. The Bible says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You should be controlled by nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. We are called not to owe. I owe. So off to work I go. We come into the place where we owe, and debt has become such a normal thing in our world today. Max sent me a notice last week. The national debt, including states, is $167 trillion. Our national debt is $22 trillion. Every American owes $67,000 to pay off the debt. In America today, the majority of believers, I'm not talking unbelievers, but the majority of believers are so delved in debt that we look at the national tithing average in America, and it's about 8 to 9% of believers actually tithe. How many of you know that's not a lot of believers? How many of you know that's over 90%, 9/10 of the body of Christ believe in salvation? How many of you believe in salvation? How many of you believe if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved? Amen. How many of you believe that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Amen. How many of you know it's only by the blood of Jesus you can be saved? Amen. We believe all that, but in the same Bible it is tithe. Amen. So if you believe in one, you believe in both. Amen. If you don't believe in one, you can't believe in both. Because we live what's called the life of obedience. Can I hear an amen? So as a believer, it's imperative that we get down to really understanding why the body of Christ isn't tithing. And when you look at the majority of the body of Christ, they have great hearts. They truly, genuinely want to obey God, but they've gotten themselves so delved in debt that to give, it is going to be just like Terry and Kayla declared, it will be a choice between eating and paying a bill or paying the tithe. And I want to encourage you something. God cannot lie. I said, God cannot lie. I hear it all the time. All your church wants is money. Keep your money. Because it has nothing to do with me. This has to do with God. This has to do with God's principles. God's word is yea and amen. Whether you like it or not, it costs the church money to run. Amen. Salvation is free. But every Bible is $5. Amen. We give away hundreds and hundreds of Bibles every single year. And we're so excited to do that. But each one costs $5. Each packet in there costs about $9 with printing and putting things together. That's just to give to salvation. Every chair you're sitting on is $65. Pat your chair and say, thank God for $65. The lights, we just turned the heat on. Glory to God. You know how much the heat is? $2,500 a month minimal. It is amazing to realize that the kingdom of God is not free. Salvation is, but the kingdom is not. So what that means is most churches try to put you in a position of feeling guilty to give. But I want you to know that's not the mind of God at all. The mind of God is that you and I will prosper in such a manner that we will have more than enough to give, not out of being compressed, but out of giving, out of a joyful and a cheerful heart. I love the fact that God's principles work when it comes to finances. My wife and I have been living them. My wife and I are blessed. There's nothing that we don't want. There's nothing we don't have that we want. Well, how is that? Well, because you take it out of the offering plate. No, I do not touch the offering plate. I don't even see money that comes into this church. The fact is that we've learned how to tithe and sow. We've learned how to be great givers. And as a great giver, you learn that you cannot outgive God. Can I hear an amen? I said you cannot outgive God. I said you cannot outgive God. Just as Kayla and Terry came to that crossroads of having to make a decision. Do I actually believe God's word is true or don't I? Well, today I want to talk to you about the power of debt in our life and how to start eliminating it so that you not only are going to be able to tithe at a full amount. Somebody said to me once, well, I tithe 5%. Well, that's not a tithe because the word tithe means tenth. Amen. Well, Pastor, I seeded. And I said, are you a tither? And they said, well, no, but I seeded. Well, you can't seed if you don't give a tithe. So here we are as believers. We've got to have a full understanding of how God's economy works, how God's kingdom works. Because we're not talking about natural principles. We're talking about supernatural principles. And we talk about supernatural principles. That means that you and I are not living in the natural realm, but we are able to step into God's principle and be able to call those things which are not as though they already are and see God supernaturally bless you beyond what your even mind can conceive. We see that's not an accidental thing. That is a purposed principle that God has invoked in his word. Just as he declares salvation, he declares financial blessing. Just as he declares forgiveness of sins, he also declares that we need to be free from debt. Owe no man anything. Well, the challenge with this is we know that as we are believers, we have had to go into debt for some certain things. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. I've got to hustle, so I'm going to go a little Bostonian on you. Is that all right? So you want to get your pen working quickly. And so the Bible declares that we are to owe no man anything, but he also declares that we should be the lender and not the borrower, which means, and you can clearly see, that if we are the lender and not the borrower, that borrowing is not a sin. You need to hear that now. There's been a propelling mindset in the body of Christ that if you borrow, it's sinful. That's not true at all. Or if you are the lender and I am the lender to the borrower, if we're actually giving them money, then that means we're helping them sin. And that's never been the plan of God. Can I hear an amen? But the Bible says that not all things are beneficial. And I'm here to tell you, as well as you can verify yourself, if you've been in hard debt, you know that debt is not beneficial. You lose sleep over debt. Amen. You have to work extra overtime and overtime and overtime just to meet your bills. The stress of debt. Man, we talked about some words: being owned, squeezed, stretched, enslaved, fear, depression, worry, overwhelming are all words that culminate around the principle of debt. The Bible says this, that if you're in debt, Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. So we've got to make a decision that debt cannot be part of my life. Can I hear an amen or am I? Turn to someone and say, I'm getting out of debt. I'm waiting for Carla. I said, I'm getting out of debt. Turn to somebody and say, debt is your enemy. Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit further down in the message that not all debt is bad. I'm going to show you which ones are not bad. I can't get into a ton of details, but I will read this verse to you. Luke chapter 16, 10 and 11 says this. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful, oh, this is powerful. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit the true riches to you? Which means this. Some of us have been stunted in our spiritual growth because we've been unfaithful in our money. If God can't trust us with money, how will he ever trust us with true riches? This is a principle that is powerful. And some of you have been stymied in your relationship with Jesus. You've halted in your walk with God. You're getting bored with your walk with Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, if you're not giving and you're not working and you're being unfaithful in mammon or in money, then your spiritual life will also be affected. So we have to gain control. Can I hear an amen? We have to bring into subjection not only every thought, but how and why we do things. You see, this is why God's called us stewards. The whole chapter of Matthew chapter 25 is talking about our lives as being good stewards. What is a steward? It's somebody that doesn't own something, but somebody that oversees something. I did a whole series a few years back on the difference between being an owner and having access. How many remember that message? I gave you an example which was very powerful, and it was this. If I gave you $50,000, Pastor Aaron, come over here, please, real quick. I'm going to give you $50,000 cash. How many of you would be blessed at $50,000 cash? But I'm going to give Pastor Pelko the keys to a super-duper department store. They have groceries, they have clothing, they have appliances, they have everything you could imagine. I'm asking you a question now. Who's wealthier? Access is greater than ownership. Access is greater than ownership. The fact is that God, thank you, God has never called you to be an owner. He did not put Adam and Eve in the garden to own the garden. He put Adam and Eve in the garden to oversee the garden. And this is the principle that we've got to get into, and that is the principle of God, that we own nothing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We own nothing. I'm not getting a lot of amens on this one. We own nothing. Come on over, Brother Bruce. We own nothing. Get your cute self on over here. Turn to someone and say, we own nothing.
Oh, for God.
You hear my wife? She's whispering over there. Be careful. Be careful. This is tighter. You just gained weight. What are you talking about? The power of debt is it literally puts you into ownership. It literally makes you a prisoner It makes you a prisoner to a house. Have you ever heard of somebody that was house heavy? House poor, my wife whispered to me. She's helping me over here. Did you want to preach it or did you just want to? Okay, I wasn't sure. We know that many of us, we own cars and we've gone such debt in cars. Man, you are so upside down, it's going to take you 20 years to trade that thing in. And when you do, the wheels are off. Can I hear an amen or oh my? What happens when we incur debt that is beyond where we should be? We literally become enslaved. Now, I want you to realize the devil doesn't mind keeping this, but we're not going to blame this on the devil. We're going to talk about you and I putting ourselves in there. We put ourselves in here. God has called us to be stewards over our marriages. He's called us to be stewards over our walk with Him. He's called us to be stewards over our children. He's called us to be stewards over finances. God's called us to be stewards, not of our stuff, but of His stuff. And I'm here to tell you, the quicker you learn this, the more relief you have. Because if you're the owner, what happens is when there is a need, the stress comes on you instead of on the one who is the owner. I gave the example before where one time we had 2 weeks in a month of January where we had ice storms here at the church. And each week, you know, people didn't come. So each week we were $4,000 negative per week. And let me tell you something, that makes a difference. We don't have a beer tent. I'm sorry. We don't have a beer tent. We have no other way to raise money. You know, it's all about the faithfulness of God's people in their level of obedience to the Lord. And what's amazing is we had to go talk to the Lord. And let me tell you something, $8,000 negative. Oops, sorry, I almost lost the key, Bruce. $8,000 negative put me in a position where I had to pray extra over finances. And I remember driving down the highway, Route 86, towards the church, going just by the Route 14 exit. And I'm praying and I'm saying, God, I have never seen the manager responsible to pay the owner's bills. So God, I relinquish all control over this. This is your job to pay this bill. It is your job to make sure that all of the needs are met in your house. It's not my house, it's your house. And man, every single time, we've never missed a payment. Say amen. We have not only not missed the payment, but we have phenomenal equity on this house. But some of you have been so far in debt, and what can happen is they can do anything to you. You are literally a prisoner of your debt. But as stewards, this is not what God has called us to be. He's not called us to be so far in debt that we can't tithe. Or when there's a need, we can't give. That's when you know money controls you instead of you controlling money. Money is not evil. Money is not evil. It's just paper. It's not even worth what it's printed on. Hello. But the love of money is evil. And what's happened is, we've gone so much into debt, we've had to love money because without the money coming in our pocket, we can't make our bills. So now as prisoners, we are called to be owned by our finances, owned by our jobs, owned by money rather than being owned by God. And this all comes down to being owned and not being ownership and not being stewards. The fact is that we all go into debt for different reasons. Some people go into debt to keep up with the Joneses. Some people go into debt because that's what they've learned. They've learned debt. Some people go in debt because they see what their parents have at 50 and 60 years old, and they want it in their 20s. Say amen or oh my on that one. Some people are in debt because they think buying the thing will fulfill them. Some people are in debt because they think it gives them prestige. Well, I drive this. Well, I drive that. Listen, if you've never read the book, The Millionaire Next Door, it's a phenomenal read for you. The average millionaire, you don't even know, and they're probably sitting next to you in church today. They're there as millionaires, but they live as normal people. That's the average millionaire in America. And what's happened is many people go into debt because they think it's going to make them look good. Listen, it looks good until they knock on your door and they drive it away. We've got to understand why we go into debt. And I'm just going to be a little transparent. I have an issue. No, I have an issue with debt. Now, I'm not in debt right now in the aspect of negative, but because of my wife and my wife only. Because I never identified the reason I used to go in debt was when I was not, how do I say this right? I was going to heaven, but my relationship with Jesus wasn't where it should have been. So there was an emptiness. So I would go buy things, and I don't know about you ladies, but I know about most of us men, we never buy a $25 thing. New golf clubs, right, Brother Bruce? We never buy cheap, man. Amen. My daddy taught me buy nice stuff. I bought nice stuff on that little charge card that said I only had to pay $25 a month. That would take me 17 years to pay off. Why you go into debt? So now when I really get this urge to go buy something, I go pray first. Boy, she's loud, isn't she? I go pray first because I want to make sure that I'm not buying something because my relationship with God is not as tight as it should be. You see, now that's me. That might not be you. You might be just that prestige thing. You, it might be keeping up with Joneses. You, it might be that's your therapy. I want you to realize that is a good therapizer until all of a sudden they come to take it away. We got to live within our means.
Yes, amen.
Now, I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amens with that.
Say it again.
When you start living within your means, yes. You start taking back.
Yes.
I didn't say you were free. But you start taking back your life.
Yes.
Listen now, if you don't believe debt owns you, you're crazy because it owns your life. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. But you make money with your time. And so it's going to take money to eliminate your debt. Which means you got to give up your time. Which you can never get back. Once it's gone, it's gone. Non-refabricatable. Not even sure if that's a word, but it sounded really exciting. But the moment that you start realizing that I've got to live within my means, you stop buying what you can't afford. Or, come on, this is what we usually do. You ready? You get a $5,000 raise, so you go $5,000 more in debt. So now what you do is you raise your level of living to now what you're making. And so now all of a sudden, what you used to be happy with when you made $30,000 a year, now you're making $60,000 a year. Now you've raised your level of living so high that you have to make $60,000 a year. So now whether you realize it or not, you can make your payments, but you're still owned. I'm sorry, Bruce.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm only 10.
But you're still owned. Until you start making a determination that I'm going to start living within my means, you cannot be free.
Well, I'll play. Ready?
But the moment you start, you're good. I've tortured you enough, yeah. The moment you start living within your means, you're starting to set yourself free.
Yeah.
Living within your means means that you're not spending what you're making. You're not spending what you're making. You're not spending what you're making. That was my problem. When I did the books at the house, we made all of our payments. We always made the payments at my home. We never not made our payments, but there was nothing left at the end of the month because I believed if there was anything left over, that Dick's Sporting Goods needed a visitation. What's that, dear? What's that? The debt envelopes on the altar. They're supposed to be, yes, but they didn't. So do you want me to stop and ask them to do that now? This is, my wife said, this is a good place in the sermon. If you have your debt in envelopes, if you want to bring them to the altar now, go ahead. My wife says it's the perfect place in the sermon to do this. How many of you are glad I'm obedient to my wife? Amen. This is all the debt that's here. You want to know what we're believing for this year? We're going to have so much massive debt cancellation that testimony after testimony after testimony of you being set free from the power of debt. Because you've learned to obey God. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to obey God. Now, listen. There are certain principles that you've got to keep in order. And that is, you've got to learn how to be and handle money. Now, in school, that doesn't happen. They don't teach it like they used to. In fact, there are many people that have never learned how to write a check until they've been out of high school. I'm not bashing on the high schools. But what I'm telling you is somebody's got to teach you how to handle money. Amen. 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 And the first thing you got to learn is how to do a budget. You hear how many amens that was? My wife, Carla, somebody over here, but that's all. You got to learn how to live on a budget. Amen. If you don't live on a budget, you're not going to make it. If you don't learn to live on a budget, you're not going to make it. If you, what? Oh, I thought you were going to send someone to jail, honey. I'm sorry. If you don't learn to live on a budget, you're going to be living in here. You're going to be constrained to the place where you're going to be owned by mammon. And you should not be owned by mammon. You should be owned by God. Some of you have never been taught how to do a budget, and that's why we have the Grow books. The Grow books this month actually have in there how to do a budget. So a budget is powerful. Now, myself, I had never done a budget. In fact, I'm really not allowed to touch money. In fact, when I used to have my own checking account, now I do now because I've grown up. But when I had my own checking account, when I had my own checking account in my first pastorate, you know, it was my money and I just had some money that was my money. And I would always get a call from the bank, and they would say, you know, Pastor Spencer, I think you're a little overdrawn. And I said, really? And they said, when was the last time you balanced your checkbook? I said, what? And so I think I closed like three accounts because it was easier to close the accounts than try to budget it. I mean, try to balance it. I know, I'm sorry. You should all be happy that Pastor has nothing to do with the money at His Tabernacle Family Church. No, I am much better now, but honestly. You need to get a Grow book to learn how to do a budget. The Bible says very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, be sure that everything is done properly. What's everything? It's not just spiritual principles, it's natural principles. Everything needs to be done decently and in order. If you don't have a budget, then you're having a problem with the book of Proverbs that makes a declaration. Where there is no prophetic vision, there is chaos. When you do not have a vision of where your finances are going, that's called a budget, a projection, then chaos ensues in your life. Problems come in your life. All of a sudden, bills start creeping up on your life. All of a sudden, you have something happen to your car. It's now in your life. Where's the money coming from? It's called MasterCard. This is the problem. People without a budget, they live on their credit cards when trouble starts to come into their house. And this is not what God wants for you. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, we've got to learn how to do a budget. Do we have a budget available on the backdrop here? And so we've got to learn how to live in a budget. There's two types of budgets. Anybody say two? The first kind of budget is the optimal type of budget. It's called living 70-10-10-10. That means you live off of 70% of your income. Only 70. You tithe 10% of your income. You save 10% of your income, and you invest 10% of your income. If you live a 70-10-10-10 process in your life, you do not have to be poor. My children, all of them were trained this growing up. They all live this principle. And they all, I believe, live within 70-10-10-10. Yes? Confirm with no. Yes, 70-10-10-10. I know Chad does, and I know Corinne and Antonio actually live better than 70-10-10-10. But we've trained them this way. I wasn't trained this way. Nothing to do with my ma. I love you, ma. But honestly, I was never trained this way. She probably wasn't either. And so what happened was simply this. I learned how to spend, but I didn't learn how to budget. And if you don't live by a budget, you're literally going to be owned by your money. You're going to go from paycheck to paycheck, and that's not the plan of God, because that's living in a life of stress. Amen. The two top reasons for divorce is sex and money. Money is a serious issue in our lives. If you can't live 70-10-10-10, then you've got to start here, 80-10-10. You live off of 80% of your income. You tithe 10%. But, Pastor, I don't have money to tithe. You don't have money not to tithe. How has it worked so far that you've been the god of your own money? It's not worked well for you. You've got to learn how to make God the god of your finances. How many of you know that money cometh and money goeth? Listen, I've told you the story before, but I sat with a man when Corning dropped out. When Corning lost all their money in their stocks, I sat with a man and he tilted over in his chair when he lost over $300,000 in just minutes of time. When the stock market crashed, I know people that had hundreds of thousands of dollars for retirement that lost every bit of it. If money is your God, then I want you to know something. It is a horrific God because it is never stable. This is why we've got to make God the God of our finances. This is why in each one of these budgets, you'll always find 10% tithe is one of the main principles that comes out. Because now you've made God the God of your money. Can I hear an amen? You see, 80-10-10, you live on 80%, you tithe 10%, and you put 10% aside for emergency funds. So when you need a tire, you don't need to put it on Visa. You have an emergency fund that you can go tap and have available to you. This is where the process of learning how to budget works. Put it back up. Oh, there we are in the bag. So here we have, in the Grow Book, it actually teaches you all the principles of how to create a budget in your life. Men and women of God, if you do not have a budget, you're living by the seat of your britches. No matter how much money you make. I remember when my wife and I said it last week. We were making $42,000 a year as a couple at His Tabernacle Family Church. I think this was 4 or 5 years ago. That's what we're making full-time, both of us. Full-time here, we were making $42,000 a year. How many of you know that's not a phenomenal wage? But we live better than some people that were making six figures. Because it's not the amount of money you have, it's what you do with the money that you have. You can live phenomenally with little if you learn how to budget and get God involved, and God will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your mind and your heart cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love Him. Now let's be honest, there are some debts that are not bad, but you've got to be wise with. Number one, it's very rare that people have $180,000, $200,000, $100,000, or even $75,000 where they can just go pay cash for a house. Now, you might be able to pull that off in Elmira for $15,000 or $20,000. That is true. But you're going to be spending at least $50,000, $60,000 in renovations you've got to have cash for. But the fact is that you, most people don't have that money available to them. So you've got to be wise in saving to save for your down payment and buy a house that you can afford, not a house you hope to afford. Amen. How many of you know that most people can't buy a car straight out? It's just a fact. It used to be, I remember buying my first car at, I think it was $800. 1970 Dodge Dart with a slant six Belvedere engine in it. Hallelujah. Came from California. Not a spot of rust. But the only way to peel the tires out when I was in high school was three guys had to pick up the rear end. I'd wind it out and they'd drop me. It's amazing on the average car nowadays. You can't just go buy a car for $5,000. You buy a car for $5,000, most of the time, you're going to be putting another five in it because there's a lot of problems. But you're going to be wise how you buy a car. You don't want to be enslaved to a car payment. I said you don't want to be enslaved to a car payment. And you're much wiser. Come on now. I was taught this by a man who ran Prudential. He taught me this. He said, if you have enough equity on your house, you use the equity on your house to buy your cars because now you can deduct the interest. So you got to be wise in how you deal with money. If you're not dealing with money well, the fact is you're going to get so far in debt, you're not going to be able to get your way out. We have business people in the house, and the fact is these days, business has changed. It used to be when you had a corporation that you simply had a corporation and it brought a separation between you and your personal household. That's not the way it works usually anymore. In fact, most business people have to co-sign, put their own houses on the line, put their own lives on the line to co-sign for a company that should be separated, but because they've had such bad problems within the banking system, now they make most businesses have to co-sign. When we go for our next building, I want you to know that what we do is we actually don't use secular banks. We actually use, there's only three banks in America that are Christian banks that deal only with churches. And thank God, all of the people and the way you're able to sit here today is because very, very wealthy business people invested in this vision, and the money that we pay each month goes back to the Christian business people as they have sown into God's house. So it's important to know that you've got to be careful with your debt. But I want to talk to you real quickly about one type of debt that you should never have in your life. Now, here's a problem. And that is, in today's world, I remember when Corinne was 18 years old, she had the money in the bank, and she wanted to buy her first house at 18 years old. So we took her house hunting, and my sister Sherry, she took us around to a bunch of places, and Corinne found a place in the Heights. She then went to the bank, and the bank said to her, we can't give you a loan unless you get a co-signer. And everybody knows the Bible says don't co-sign for anybody. And so we said, well, Corinne, we're not going to co-sign for you. And so the bank said, it's not that you don't have good credit. You have no credit. You need a car loan. Let's get you in debt so we can give you a greater debt. You need a car loan and a credit card to build credit. Now, listen, that's a hard part about today's society that we live in. The fact is that sometimes you've got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So my wife and I have learned how to use credit cards. Credit cards are not used to keep credit on them. We were walking through one day, walking through the airport, and the lady came up. She says, well, I'm from American Express, and I would like to have you apply for our credit card. We'll give you 75,000 miles on Delta if you are willing to sign up for this credit card. She looked at me, I looked at her and said, I feel Jesus. Signed up for the credit card, and we had to spend, I think it was $3,000, that within a certain period of time to activate it, and we just paid our bills on it, and every week paid our bills off. So it always carried, at the end of every week, no balance. No balance. Certain some say, no balance. At the end of that point, we had 75,000 points, And I think it was like 8 months ago, 9 months ago, we're walking through the airport again, and a lady came up. She says, I would like to offer you this credit card for 75,000 points. I said, well, we already got that one. She said, well, would you like the platinum one? And I said, what does that mean? She said, it's 75,000 more points. I said, I feel Jesus. And so we did that. We did everything. We did it all out. We had 150,000 points on Delta to be able to fly anywhere we want, and we're going to go to Hawaii next year, and we're going to go first class free. No balance. Everybody shout no balance. No balance. Shout no balance. You can use a credit card, but have no balance. You don't go to Talbot's. They offer you 15%. If you get the credit card, you do the credit card, but you never pay the balance. How about these? 3 months interest-free if it's paid off in 90 days. But you don't pay it off in 90 days. Now you've got all the extra interest. Listen, debt will destroy you. Debt will enslave you. Debt will imprison you. Debt will own you. Debt will keep you awake at night. We've got to make a decision in our heart that credit card debt has no place in our lives. If you've got credit card debt, there's a way to pay it off. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's called the snowball. Everybody shout, snowball. Here it is right here on the wall, right up on the camera. There, nope, that's not it. Move quickly. There we go. Nope, other one. Here we sit like birds in the wilderness. Here we go. This is how you eliminate debt. You have a credit card. Let's say the balance is $150. Your minimum payment is $25. You go and you pay off the $150. But you don't take that $25 payment and put it in your pocket and go, let's go to Starbucks. Let's go to, you know, whatever. You take that $25, add it to your next payment, and now you're making extra payment on that credit card. Once you pay that one off, you take that payment, roll it into your next credit card. Then you take that next balance, you roll it into your next credit card. And what you'll find is that you are going to create a snowball effect in paying off your debt. And it'll be paid off quicker than you could ever have imagined. Because now it's not just you paying it off, but now God's going to work on your behalf. Now God's going to give you supernatural favor. Now God's going to give you opportunity to make money that you never thought even possible. Now God's going to have somebody send you a check that you didn't even remember. Now God's going to do this, God's going to do that, because now God is the Lord of your money, because you're tithing every week, and now God wants you out of debt so you're not owned by the credit card company. And you pay it off. Say amen. Amen. Now, a principle that I always have had is this. I will never go into debt unless I have equity immediately. If I cannot sell it and make money, or sell it and at least break even, I rarely ever break even. I will not touch it. Why? Well, because what happens is, if something does happen and you need to get rid of it, if now you're $3,000 upside down, where are you getting the $3,000? You got to be wise as a serpent. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And the Bible talks about sowing. You've got to be a sower. Can I hear an amen? Amen? You've got to sow into the kingdom of God. When you sow into the kingdom of God, you will always find the blessings of God will chase you down and trip you up. God wants you out of debt more than you want to be out of debt. God wants to set you free more than you want to be free. But you've got to make a determination. I do not want to be in debt anymore. If you do not make that decision, then you will constantly relive this. It will revisit you. Because all of a sudden, you're going to go to the market, you're going to see a brand new bow, you're going to see a brand new gun, I'm talking to the men, brand new gun, you're going to see a brand new puppy. Now, puppies used to be like $300. Now they want like $3,000 for a mutt. You buy a mutt for $3,000 from a local place, and now you put it on a card. Now you're paying 28% interest, and now that dog's going to cost you $28 million. $28 million. But he looked so cute. They don't look cute once they've chewed your hat. But you're still paying for them. We've got to be wise. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Turn to somebody and say, debt is not allowed in my life. Debt, I'm getting rid of you. I'm going to be free. Now listen, I'm not out of debt. I'm working on it. I sold a motorcycle this year. It was painful. It's painful. Just painful. Watching this man from Chicago drive away with a beautiful Harley Davidson. Painful. But it relieved me of debt. Now I could make the payment. That wasn't the issue. But I'm really believing God to get out of debt. Can I hear an amen? I really want to be free so that if the Lord tells me to sow, to give, to do something, I can. And I want to be able to. My wife and I love to sow. Last year, we gave 30% of my income. Why was that? Because we love it. And it works. We do not suffer in any way, shape, or form. So I want to encourage you. You need to make a decision. I want you to take your pen or phone or whatever, and you need to make a decision right there in writing. I am getting out of debt. You need to write it down. Make a declaration. I am getting out of debt. And I'm going to tell you, you determined to do this, God's going to help you. Because God wants you to be free. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm in a quandary. How many of you saw that we're working on the parking lot? I didn't give this sermon because of the parking lot. We have been confronted last year with a $150,000 bill to fix our parking lot. Sometimes there's years of maintenance. This is a year of maintenance. So this year, what's happened is simply this. We had a man come to us and say he'll reface the whole thing, redo the lines for $24,000. Then he said, I'll even knock 5 or 10% off if we can cut a deal. And so I ran out of time is my problem. It's 10:40. We're going to have collisions in the parking lot. I'm not prophesying either. So what I need to do is I have a short period of time. If this is your house, there's some maintenance that needs to be done. My wife and I are going to sew the first $1,000. It's $24,000. We're going to sew the first $1,000 towards it. And if we could have the ushers come real quick. If you would like an envelope, we're not going to beg or plead. I don't have time. If you would like an envelope, you want to sow into this, just raise your hand. The ushers are right here. They're ready to have this. I'd love to have just simply 23 people with. Actually, we had a lady already give $1,000, so we only need, I think it's $22,000. So if you'd like to give towards this, I encourage you to do so. This is one of those things about being free or not free. If you're not free in finances, you're saying, I'd love to give. I'd love to help, and you can't. But I want to encourage you, if you didn't have time this week, I know you didn't. You can either give it by online, or you can bring it next week or during the week. We just want to encourage you to sow into the house. We have another project we're going to do here in the next month and a half. How many of you have enjoyed the very windy foyer, the cold foyer all winter long? We have a plan how to we're gonna close that in this year. Is that all right? You don't mind doing that? We just got some things we got to do this year. Some of you can write the full check if you'd like to do that. You're more than welcome. 1,000 is THOUSAND. If you would like to do that, we've had people do that here in the house before. With different needs, they've just written the check. This is a need we have in the body of Christ. This is sowing. You're sowing into the house of the Lord. We just need to take care of our parking lot as good stewards so it's not destroyed. They said if we don't take care of it properly, next year will be about $180,000 to fix. And we don't want to do that. I'd rather spend $24,000 and fix it. Amen? Because I'm cheap. I mean, frugal. I hate spending money on things unless I can ride them. Yep, we're going to pray over the envelopes. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you need to give your heart to Christ. This is the very first level of stewardship. Because your life is not your own. You want to give it to Jesus. I'm not asking you to join a religion or join a church. I'm asking you to know God. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus in your heart, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'd love to pray with you, lead you to Christ. It's a very unique message. Last week, we preached on debt, and we had, I think, 8 people give their hearts to Jesus. Is there anyone in the room? Amen. We're going to have the ushers, actually. They're going to stand in the back. If you'd like to give, you can do that with this. But if your money's up here, if your bills are up here, if you'll just raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak right now over the spirit of poverty. You foul spirit that's trying to keep the body of Christ tethered down so they cannot be free and give. I bind you in Jesus' name. Now, God, I speak to our flesh. Holy Ghost, we give you the freedom to correct us, to realign us. We give you the freedom to convict us when we go to spend money that we should not. We ask that you will guide us and strengthen us, that we will be able to stand even with the temptation of buying something that is out of alignment. Lord, is there. Lord, I pray for every family to have a budget in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, we'll be able to learn how to handle natural money, that you can trust us with supernatural principles. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, the blessing of God on this house. I declare the richest church in this entire region, that the whole area will have to look and wonder what you are doing here. Lord, I'm reminded, God, I'm reminded with the children of Israel, you have blessed them so much with the wealth of the Egyptians that all the other nations paid attention. Lord, I declare, God, this wealth, Lord, will be in every single household, that, Lord, every home will have more than enough, that every home will have increase, that every home will have abundance, that every home will have wealth, and that, God, you'll bless us going in and bless us going out. We declare it in the name of Jesus for your glory. And everybody in receiving said, amen. We just want to love you. Thank you so much. This is a very practical message. Next week, Chris Estrada will be here. You don't want to miss it. The week after, come on, hang on. We're going to be starting to talk about these principles and get you solid. Amen. Have a great day. Serve Jesus with all of your hearts. If you want to give, the offering plates will be in the back. The ushers are in the back of the offering plates.